So I guess what I wanted to just start off with was present the status of where things are right now, you know, at all stations, and then specifically address how I selected each local, you know, how I appointed, actually, the top choices to Arlene for each local election supervisor. So just to start off with the general what has been done already, at each station, from after our telephone conference today with all five local election supervisors, all staff lists should be posted at each station. Carts are in production. At KPFC, carts have been running. Everyone has scheduled staff meetings with key staff and especially the programmers. And we're having bi-weekly conference calls. Everybody's email and phone number is set up. And all the candidate nomination packages for staff and listener are up for use, and nominations are open. I developed a programming guidelines document, which is also online, and I've also sent it out to the people who really need it, which are obviously the local election supervisors and everybody involved in programming at each station who I have the contact information for, which is, you know, pretty much the program directors and the traffic coordinators. And I also managed to find a detailed description of single transferable voting method, and I also posted that it's a document that was developed by the KPFK election group in 2006, and so it's up there too. And just regular updates are being made to the website, so you know everybody should give me their feedback with respect to modifying things. Like I know that somebody just mentioned to me that if the font's too small, it's hard to read, so I'm going to make sure that the font is big enough, you know, not 10 font, because there are some things, for some reason, that I put in 10 font, and that was an oversight. I should have everything in 12 and 14 font, at least. So that's it with respect to what's going on, you know, just in general. And by Monday, I should have detailed rotation schedules for the initial rotation plan at each station with respect to, you know, how airwaves are going to promote the election. That's to be by Monday or, you know, some other day of next week, but definitely the deadline I set was Monday, but as, you know, things always go, it'll probably be a couple days after that. So that's it with respect to, you know, what's generally going on with the election. I wanted to present in detail how I went about selecting who I eventually appointed for the position of local election supervisor. So the first thing I did was I developed a detailed job description, and it's still posted if you would like to review it. It's probably the most detailed that it has ever been. And I did that because I know coming into the job myself, it was very unclear, and I didn't know what to do, really, without a really detailed job description. So that's what I did, and I posted it specifically on idealist.org, five different job posts, Craigslist. I got all the station websites to post it. I sent faxes, and I also contacted a whole bunch of progressive media outlets asking them to post the job and help find qualified candidates. I'm not going to list all of those, but I do have all the records. I also built a web page from scratch overnight, obviously, in order to centralize election material and give a clear picture of the job at hand to potential candidates. And then I went through possibly the most rigorous selection process possible given the time frame and resources.
Oh, please.
I first obviously screened individuals based on their CV and cover letter, and I set up a 30-minute to hour-long interview where I systematically asked the following questions. One, based on your understanding of the job at hand, what would be your two top priorities as local election supervisor? 2, what is your availability for the next 5 months? Please explain how the position fits into your life. Please describe how you plan to manage your time in order to complete all the tests at hand. 3, given that you have all the station resources that you need, explain how you would go about producing various radio segments required by the position. 4, please explain ideas you may have with respect to generating hype, getting people to participate in the whole process. You can refer to organizing community events or other methods you plan to use to get the word out to as many folks as possible. And 5, given that you have to manage a huge database of listener members in an Excel table format, please explain to me how you would keep track of reissuing ballots to listeners who may have received, who may not have received, or may have lost their ballot. So every single first interview that I did, I went through that, those 5 questions consistently, and I even recorded some of them. And overall, just to give you the numbers, at WPFW, I had 26 applicants that had, you know, a cover letter and cover letter and CV, and only 7 of them signed up for an interview. So I got 7 of the 26 to do a first interview. At WBAI, there were 41 applicants, and I also did 7 first interviews of those 41. At KPFT, there were 38. And I did 10 first interviews. At KPFK, there were 63, and I did 16 first interviews. At KPFA, there were 41, and I did 16 first interviews. So after the first round, I selected individuals for a second round of interviews, and I had everyone prepare a one-week action plan and prepare questions they had for me. And then I assessed individuals based on content and organization of their action plan and the quality and depth of their questions. As a result of the, after that first interview, I interviewed 5 more people in person at WPFW, 6 people in person at WBAI, 4 people, a second interview was on the phone at KPFT, and 4 people at KPFK. And 5 people, again, in person at KPFA. And of that, I had, the results of the selection process gave me a selection of highly qualified candidates at each station. So that's that. So I just wanted to be very specific about my selection process because it really is a hot topic right now. Concerning why my candidate wasn't chosen, and basically wanted to make the.
I can't understand anything you're saying.
Chairman,
right now.
Would somebody please mute?
Can you give some order?
Oh, it's not a question of order. It's a question of noise in the background. Is there?
The person that just entered the call.
Yeah, the person that just entered the call.
All right,
That was me. This is Alex. I'm muting. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, Renee, please continue. Yes.
George?
Yes?
This is Arlene.
Yes.
Point of information, I don't believe we should be discussing individuals who may have been staffed at some point or another.
I believe that's correct.
And George, a lot of this we're going to take up in executive session because it does concern questions of competency and some of our employees and things like that.
Okay. Renee, were you finished with your report?
Basically, that's it. The next piece had to do with specifically referring to why why certain decisions were made with respect to appointing the LES at KPFK specifically, but since I can't talk about that right now, my report is over.
Okay. Are there any questions for Renee?
Yes.
Other than that one.
This is Summer.
Summer, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Renee. Advertising on Craigslist, I will not even comment upon. But I would like a list sent to the PNB if we need to make a motion about it with the things you just rattled off to us already, in terms of the criteria that you used. I unfortunately did not hear anywhere in your criteria either a question about elections experience or familiarity with Pacifica, and it sounds like you just did a general advertisement to, I mean, I'm really, that kind of advertising, even the questions that were asked don't seem really appropriate to our type of situation, but I would like to have a report basically sent out to the entire PNB that, and I didn't hear the web address. You said you had built a website. I'm sorry, I missed it. Ow. Hello?
You're still there.
Hi. I'm sorry, Renee, could you repeat the web address, please?
PacificaElections2010.org.
Oh, okay, thank you. Well, if you could put something together just on the things that you had just said to us, where the jobs were posted in that list of what your, and, you know, and nothing about production experience for producing the carts or being bilingual for areas like Los Angeles and things
well,
like that.
Well, that's all in the detailed job description.
Okay, okay.
My job description is like one page long, and it goes phase by phase, like to people's responsibilities. And I have a list. If you would like, I can read that to you. But
well, no, actually, I just did
just
any...
to read. I mean, I tried to be as specific as you can possibly get, and I gave a very, very rigorous list of required qualifications,
but did you ask...
as well as additional qualifications, which would be nice to have.
Well,
you know,
if you could send that job description around, because that would be nice for reference. But did you ask specifically about elections experience? Was that part of the criteria?
Well, I mean, it's an election-related job, so obviously, I mean, the job description is all about carrying out an election.
Right, but do any of these people have elections experience?
Oh, I mean, obviously, you know, and I did get a lot of people that actually had a lot of election-related experience.
Good. Are those the people we hired? Do these people
have... This is an atypical election. This is not your typical election. This is, we're talking about a very... special election in media democracy. It's very different.
I'm just asking a very simple question. Do any of the people that you hired have election experience? It's a very simple question. Can you answer that, please?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Hello? Yes, they do?
Yes.
Okay. Do all of them have election experience or just some of them?
Not. Well, I mean, it depends what you consider election experience. I mean... I'm not going to answer that right now because I don't have everybody's detailed CV right out here in front of me, and I don't want to do a disservice to any of the individuals that I hired, you know, because I, by no means, I don't know every single thing that they've done in their life.
Well, I would think that would be the most important thing that you would know is whether they had conducted an election before and that you would know that off the top of your head, but I'm sorry, that's not the case. I'll let the next person ask questions. Thank you so much.
Yeah, George, this is Sean.
Okay, Sean.
Yeah, you know, I want to ask you, Renee, at KPFK, we had two LESs in 2 days, okay, which says to me that there was a less than adequate interview process, because you not only interview people to find out if they have the qualifications, and from everything I've seen, I don't see anybody with any on-hands election running experience. But the point is, you also find out if these people are up for the job. Now, you appointed one woman who didn't even make it a day, and then you appointed another person. And so when you say to me that you ran complete or thorough interviews, I really have to doubt that. And then also I hear in New York where they had qualified people come, and you didn't even give them an interview. You know, and this is very disturbing, because if we don't get people in place who know how to run elections properly and fairly, that means 3 years of pain and suffering for this foundation. So I'd like to know why we had, and I have my LSB asking me this question, two LESs in 2 days to begin with. And that's just one question.
We never had two LESs in 2 days.
Excuse me, the first lady's name was Lewis Goldblatt, or Goldbold.
Mr. Chairman?
He can't say names on the air.
Isn't it a... Yes. This,
okay, very
this,
good.
I think should be for
you. We had a woman and we had a man, all in 2 days.
I'll allow the question. I think that Renee can use her judgment as to whether it should be executive session or not.
I made that announcement? Did I? I'm sorry, but I didn't. I only made the announcement when I knew who had been appointed. Well, so I don't know where you're getting your information from.
From Tracy Rosenberg, who sent out the names.
I'm not Tracy.
Every one of them.
I am Renee Asperia, and I am independent contractor, and every single person who I appointed dealt with me, didn't deal with anybody else. They dealt with me.
Well, you know, it was sent out on a Pacifica website that there was this woman was picked, okay? And it was put out by your friend, Tracy Rosenberg, okay? Then, you know,
but,
the next day...
I'm
Sean, I think you have the answer
to
the question.
Sean, my answer to your question is, one, you know, she wasn't hired, okay? And I never made that official announcement. There was no announcement. From me, okay?
I'll send you the email, okay?
Can we move on, sir?
On Pacific.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Yes.
Anybody can write an email.
Okay, I have one other question. Did you tell people in interviews with interviewees that you doubted the veracity of our general counsel? And do you understand the implications of that and how unprofessional that is in an interview?
What?
Did you tell interviewers in the interview that you doubted the veracity of our general counsel's opinions? Okay? Which, first of all, would be an inappropriate question to ask.
I'm very confused by your question because I don't understand what you're talking about. If you could, like, dumb it down to just plain English words.
Did you, this is being totally unresponsive. It's very simple. Did you say to a person you were interviewing that you doubted the veracity of our legal counsel's opinions?
No. This is a point of information. This is LaVar.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Point of information.
Yes, what's your point of information, LaVar?
My point of information is, does this require to be discussed in closed session in terms of we're using names of individuals that perhaps will, on an open...
I didn't use anybody's name in that. I just said an interview.
I was thinking about it, LaVar, and I don't think so. I think it's just a question of it doesn't really have to do with whether the general counsel really is or isn't capable. It's just a question of
point of order.
So please, folks. So I'm going to allow the question. Do you want to answer it, Renee?
Well, my answer is I never said that I doubted anybody. I mean, the thing is, I made my decisions, and whatever came out, you know, whatever appointments or whatever, I made those independently of counsel. I made those based on my common sense for the most part. I mean, actually, completely. So I really don't understand the question whatsoever because.
Do you understand the implication?
Let's move on. I don't think it's going to get wrong.
This is critical.
Let's move on.
No, listen. This is critical.
Let's move on.
We'll get
please.
To take this up in executive session. I think there are many, many more matters here.
Because this is endangering the foundation right now.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I'm deeply disturbed by the responses also, but I think we need to take it up in executive session because it's going to require action, you know? I mean, anyway, I think we should... that's why I wanted a nice, long executive session to deal with these problems. Thank you.
If we can move on, I would like to. We're certainly out of time on the NES report.
Yes,
Renee,
we are.
Thank you for being there. Will you be, I guess you can't be available at the executive session.
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. The next item is the executive director's report. Arlene?
George?
Yes, who's that?
Can you hear me, George? This
I can.
Ricardo.
Who is it? Hi, Ricardo.
Ricardo?
Yes.
Renee cannot be in the executive session,
right.
Per se, but the board can ask her to be in executive session if they want to ask her any specific questions.
Right. Well, let me ask, are there members of the board who would like to ask Renee specific questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and this
yes.
is summer. I think
okay,
over
so.
If critical things are going to come up, she should have the opportunity to answer things that may be wrong.
I would also, this is Rico, I would also move that we extend 10 minutes to continue this a little further. I have a question I'd like to ask.
Is there a second for Rico's
second.
Motion?
Second.
Is there any objection?
I object.
Motion? Okay. Who's taking the roll, Richard or?
I'm taking the vote. I'm taking votes.
Okay. Would you take a vote on this?
A 10-minute extension?
Yes.
10-minute extension. Okay. Sharam, sorry, Sharam. Sharam Amir. Tracy Rosenberg.
No.
Andrea Turner. Andrea. Joe Gonzalez.
Yes.
Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford. Leslie.
I'm sorry, I was muted over here. Yes, that's fine.
Summer Reese.
Yes.
Rico Ross.
I said yes to Richard.
Who was that? Andrea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I was on. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. Okay, fine. Rico Ross.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Epstein.
Alberto Larrero.
No.
George, Richard Uzel, abstain. Nia Bediako.
Yes.
Kathy Davis. Jennifer Jaeger. Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Alonzo Brown.
Yes.
Campbell Johnson.
Yes.
Kimberly Orendorf. Marcel Reed.
Absolutely.
Jim Bennett.
Abstain.
Fia Wangaza.
Yes.
Richard, this is Sharam.
13-1.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who is this?
Sharam. I'm sorry, I was on the mute button, so I mean, I just didn't.
You
call my name?
Vote on it?
So I'm voting for it, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. That's 14-1-2-3. 14-1-3.
Okay, the motion passes. Now, Rico, you wanted to ask a question. Is there anybody else who wants to ask additional questions? Okay, Rico, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, hi, Renee.
Rico, then Campbell.
Hi Renee. It's Rico. Thank you for your report.
No problem.
I was also looking at your website. It looks pretty damn good to me. I haven't had a chance to look through much of it, but it's kind of impressive. I guess my biggest concern, I don't know as much as I probably would like to know, but my biggest concern is about KPFK, because that's where I do know what's going on there. And I know that there were certain things that you were worried about as far as the 3 months between jobs. That was something that you were quite concerned with, and if I'm not mistaken, that is what disqualified our present guy that we were using in the last time. I'm not mentioning any names. Is that correct?
No, I didn't disqualify him.
Oh, okay. He wasn't disqualified then?
Well, I mean, I didn't. I considered him. You know,
he was considered, but he didn't make the grades.
No.
Because what I was hoping that we could do is possibly give you more information that may make you understand how difficult it has been at KPFK for us to get someone where people on all sides feel that this person is doing an adequate job, and that's not always the case. And I think once you find that, that's worth a lot more than someone who hasn't been tested. I know that, you know, politics shouldn't be play a role in this, but unfortunately, it's part of it. And when you come to Pacifica, you have to deal with things that are Pacifica at this time, and probably been so in the last 10 years. I think that this particular gentleman has been tried and proven, tested and proven, and I think that in itself may be worth if we can give you more information that you might feel may add something to this, his candidacy, may be I was wondering, would that even, if we were able to do something like that, would that, would there even be a possibility that you may be able to reconsider at all?
At this point, no.
This is
okay.
Summer. I'd like to be on the stack again.
Campbell, then Summer.
Thank you.
Yes.
Richard.
And then Richard.
Hi, Renee, and I think that you certainly have a challenging job ahead of you, as well as the work that you've done thus far. I would like to inquire, and it seems as though it's the case, that you're not taking a one-size-fits-all perspective on the implementation of your position. Is that correct?
A one-size-fits-all?
In other words, circumstances at different stations perhaps require different...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a huge... I mean, each station is different, and that's why my trips to WBAI and WPFW were so useful for me, and I really wish that I could have gone to KPFK, but time and resources were what prevented that from happening. But, yeah, that is, in every consideration, you know, each station, there are different realities, and so when you're hiring a team of people for five different situations, there's, I mean, it just, you have to take each context into account. I mean, by all means.
I have to apologize somewhat. That's like a mom home and apple pie type question. The other piece of that, I guess, is that, would you be inclined to discuss, I know you're meeting with staff persons, but would you also be inclined to meet with any the LSB persons? At least at our station?
Oh, you mean to, which, you
WPFW.
Mean
WPFW.
Just to talk?
Yes.
Oh, of course. I mean, whoever wants to talk, I'm open to talking to getting all sides, all feedback. I mean, the more, the better for me.
Okay, terrific.
It'll just give me a greater perspective on everything. I mean, I really do want, and I really, you know, I have a cell phone that people can call. I have an email that I'm pretty much on top of, you know, every minute of the day, unless I'm sleeping. So, you know, definitely.
Okay, and also one last thing. Would you be inclined to meet with the candidates if they have, or the, if you can? I know that your travel budget is probably not huge, but certainly would you advocate for the LES to meet with candidates as a group in regard to any concerns they may have?
Oh, yeah, and actually that's a it's a requirement for the local election supervisor to meet with every prospective candidate and to at least talk to them on the phone. I mean, that's a requirement anyway. So I mean, but you know, by all means, I mean the local, that's one of the main top priorities of a local election supervisor, is to manage candidates. You can manage the candidate nomination process, the campaign, everything. And so, does that answer your question? Or?
Surely. The only thing is that in that last question, I was asking, you know, if they have any group concerns. You know, say a group of candidates have a particular concern that you would be willing to, if your time permitted with it, but certainly that you would advocate that your local election supervisors would meet with the candidates.
You mean a group instead of individuals?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see why not.
Okay.
I mean, group versus individuals, I mean, still, they're still in, you know, still
right.
Candidates running, so.
Sounds good
okay.
to me. Thank
Summer.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yes. I guess, again, I'm very shocked to hear that you don't know off the top of your head that whether your five election supervisors have election experience, because I've hired lots of people, and I certainly know a group as small as five whether they had done this before. I would like to know in the executive session what the criteria was more specifically, and in our specific situation at KPFK, how the person that was hired somehow rose head and shoulders above the person we've had before. Which also feeds into, if you've been able to fly to WPFW in Washington, D.C., and WBAI in New York, we are an hour from Berkeley in Los Angeles, and it costs way less than $100 to fly here. There's no way, I mean, anybody could fly down here in the morning and be back in Berkeley by the evening in one work day. Our manager is up in arms about this because it sucks up station resources, something fierce, to train new people, run fun drives, have to bring in production staff to help them record stuff, and having people who've already done this before, of course, smooths things out, not just for the board, but for the station. So, you know, we'd like a little more detail on that, how this decision was come about. And I would like those, you know, if you would please, without us having to formalize it into motion, just send us some sort of report with some of those details that you went over. And, yeah, we'd like, I guess, in the executive session to have a slightly better idea as to why the person that was chosen specifically for our signal area was chosen over other people.
This is Tracy for the staff of Signal Time.
Sure. And about the travel issue.
George,
send that a point of order.
Please, I heard a point of order.
Thank you.
Yes. After sitting here listening to all of this, I think this is not legal. We can't influence whom the National Election Supervisor hires, and that's what it's beginning to sound like over the stream. And even in the executive session, I don't even know if we should be doing this. She or he is independent, and no director should be saying, well,
this is not a point of order, George. I think it is a point of order, actually. It's got to do with our bylaws and the relationship of the board to the...
I reserve a point of order when she's done.
And it's a summer for that, too.
You know, George, it's really... But when I'm, if I were to yell at you, call me to order. Why aren't you calling Sean Tracy O'Brien to order? I am speaking. I mean, you could disagree with me, but let me finish speaking.
I was defending your right to speak. I said it is a point of order.
I apologize. I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm saying that, you know, it sounds to me like we're putting pressure on the woman. You know, why isn't she hiring this one? Why isn't the other one hiring? We're not supposed to be doing that. What's that?
I'd like to ask Ricardo's opinion on that. Ricardo, is this kind of questioning outside the bounds of what the bylaws require in terms of the distance between the PNB and the NES?
Well, the board has the right to be informed as to what's going on in the election process. However, the bylaws are clear that the election itself is to be independent from the PNB, and indeed the executive director as well, although the executive director hires the NES. So, you know, whatever information the board wishes to gather, they have every right to do that. However, Nia is right that to the extent that the board may be seeking to exert their will on the National Election Supervisor, that's not appropriate.
So questions are okay, but attempting to exert your will, badgering the NES, or attempting to intimidate, whatever one wants to call it, it would be out of order. Then.
A point of order.
This is Summer.
Yes, your point of order, Sean.
Yeah. Now. I agree that we're not supposed to be trying to influence the NES, but that's the whole reason this question has come up: the undue influence of a certain member of this PNB upon her. That
Sure, that's not a point of order at this point.
I know, but I'm saying you let Nia go through and say it was badgering, and I'm just saying, don't we have the right if we believe that there has already been undue influence and that the process has already been screwed up from that undue influence, don't we have a right to question that? Don't we have a right, a duty, a fiduciary duty to this board to protect the foundation from the undue influence of certain board members over the NES?
This is Summer.
Well, given...
can I get on the stack? This is Renee.
I think I'm still on the stack at some point.
And Jim on the stack as well.
As far as Sean's question about a point of order, there would have to be a discussion of that sort on the table, which that isn't actually on the table at the moment. What we have is the NES's report and questions to her about what's transpired in this way.
But my point of order goes to our attorney. Don't we have a duty as board members to protect the foundation from an NES who is under the undue influence?
There's a question of fact there to begin with. Yes, go ahead.
I want to try and shorten
this. We're out of time.
I feel that we all have many more questions, including how we got this NES, maybe, but we have time in executive session, and some of these things are rather delicate and dicey, and I think... for everyone to fully discuss whatever is on his or her mind, maybe we should take up the rest of this in the executive session where we can fully ask our questions, because there are competency issues here, things that aren't just about whether we change.
I'm inclined to agree with that, and we are out of time.
I think it's more appropriate at this point.
And Renee, can you be on the call at the beginning of the executive session?
Yeah, of course.
At 10 a.m.? Okay. Thank you. 10 p.m., yes.
It's an all-nighter.
Okay. We're going to move on.